I took my top off. I'm excited.
Oh, boy. Yeah. It's getting big on Hacker and the Fed. We're going topless.
Hector Monsiger was responsible for some of the most notorious hacks
former
ever committed.
FBI Special Agent Chris Tarbell.
Hacker turned FBI informant.
Participated in some of the world's most infamous hacks.
That caused up to $50 million in damages.
A life in the shadows.
Cyber attacks on the rise.
Welcome to Hacker and the Fed. I'm Chris Tarbell, former FBI special agent, working my entire career in cybersecurity. I'm joined, as always, by my friend and podcast co-host, Hector Monsiger. Hector was a former Black Hat hacker who once faced 125 years in prison for his many years of hacking under the code name Sabu. Our stories collide in June of 2011 when I arrested Hector and then convinced him to work with me at the FBI. Hector is now a red teamer, researcher, cybersecurity expert, and great friend. Hector, how's it going, brother?
Hey, how you doing, my brother? I'm good, man. I'm here chilling. So I got to say, it's been a busy Monday. All day, nonstop craziness. What's up with you?
That's good. That's good. No, yeah, today's been crazy for me. I did most of my day. I started off at the gym. Then, I like to, in the morning, to get energized and hit the gym. And then the rest of the day, I was at the pantry. Then we had to drive around. We got three new places we did donate. So we had a whole truckload of stuff to come back. And we got to weigh it all and check it in. And then I raced home to do some of my tanning that I like to do. And if you want details of that, go over to Patreon. we met with Phineas and Will and had a podcast meeting about how some stories we're going to do in the future. I think the next 2 weeks are going to be fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, Phineas and Will gave us some ideas of things that they want us to talk about. So they put it out there. So great show this week, better shows next week, and the best show after that.
Well, that sounds really exciting, but I got to say something because that was a really good meeting. And I'm also very glad that they put the cameras on. It was good to see them. Yeah. It was interesting to see that Phineas had like the 1980s Night Stalker look. That was really cool. You know,
that was nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Will reminds me of, like, you know, when you look at, like FBI's Most Wanted, and it's like a random guy that's like, you know, he kidnapped the turtle and he's been on the run for like 20 years. Will kind of reminds me of that guy.
Well, they can't defend themselves except they can edit all of that shit out. And it's like it never happened. But yes. We'll see if it's left in. But if not, maybe we'll have him on the show sometime and let him talk about, like, behind the scenes of us and how we're pricks behind the scenes.
Yeah.
How we're tyrants.
We talk a lot of shit. That's what we do.
Yeah. No, but honestly, if you really want to know us behind the scenes, the Patreon is a great place. I hate to keep pushing it, Hector, but we just recorded it, and I thought it was awesome. Some of the stuff we talked about this week blew my mind. So one thing that Hector and I take very serious is our personal security. Sure. You don't learn shit about us. You don't know what operating systems you use. You don't even know what kind of phone we use, because why give that information up? I don't tell you about the apps we use to communicate on. None of that shit. Hector gave us a line-by-line detail of how he cleans himself every day. So if you want to know what Hector's about, today's Patreon is the one to listen to.
Yeah, I mean, if you ever go to SeaWorld and see how they wash a whale, it's very similar in nature. It works. And I run with it.
They don't do that anymore at SeaWorld. That one, you kill one little lady, you know, drag her under and drown her in front of 2,000 people. And all of a sudden, they shut the show down.
Man, that's a shame.
It is a shame. But we traveled this week. It was great to see you. I enjoyed hanging out with you and spending some time. Big Always. Shout out to GuidePoint Security for having us out to their Chicago event.
That's right.
Yeah, fantastic audience. Brian, he was our moderator and led the show, did a great job.
Oh, yeah.
So
Brian's a real pro.
Yeah. And you had some friends that were showing up in the audience. That was good to see.
Yeah, man. I had some really good folks that came over. They was in the audience. And I saw them enjoying the nostalgia. I spoke about some of the things that we did back in the 90s, you know. So Shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to your buddy Chris for coming up and introducing himself to me. And I got to know him a little bit. So it was great to see him. So shout out to Chris. He's a listener, right?
Yeah, he's definitely listening. I got to say, Chris is a sweetheart. I love that guy. I'm glad he came through. So very happy to see him. And he had the dopest jacket. Did you notice the jacket he had on? He had like the Nintendo.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, man. Homeboy was dressed up for the party. That's
yeah,
sure.
He gave you some swag and all that. It was nice to see him. So it's always it's always nice when they get back from the audience and hear from him and get to meet him in face to face. I love that.
Oh yeah, that's honestly is one of my favorite parts.
I think it's funny. We both love the audience interaction and coming up to him, but God forbid that we tell anybody before we go someplace because you and I are both freaked out about who's going to show up, who's going to shoot us.
Yeah, with me, it would probably be a couple of Russian operators. For you, probably the same.
Well, no, we were in Chicago, and you told me who you worried about showing up there. So I spent the whole 45 minutes up there scanning the audience for every new person that walked in. I was like, oh, is this it? Is this it?
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, man, the anarchist is going to get my ass. Yeah, this time.
I got to use you as a human shield while I start shooting. So just to let everyone know, when we're doing those presentations, I do have a gun on me.
Yeah, man. No, but it was fun. It was a really good experience. Guy Point always goes all out for those events. And there was some really good sponsors there. Like, I saw some companies that I know that I do business with. I'm happy to see them. You know, but they those companies do make a mistake, Chris. I'm going to tell you.
What's that?
They know I'm going to be there. They do business with me already, right? And maybe it's a 50-50 split, right? In one sense, I would totally shout these companies out. If they ask me, hey, heck, you know, we're here, we're sponsoring, you know, just a little shout out. Or, hey, can you come to the booth after the fact, right? They don't really do that. But then in a sense, I think they also be professional. They don't want to, like, overstep their boundaries, right?
Yeah, so I respect that. I mean, one, you're a friend. Two, you're on one of the most popular cyber podcasts there are. So they don't want to, you know, use that relationship to overstep. So, you know, I'm sure once in a while people ask us to do things and maybe we do, maybe we don't. Who knows? But we just weave it in. We're so good at podcasting now. We can just weave it in and they don't even know.
We've had practice. For sure. No, but it was a great experience. The venue was dope. And like you said, I had a couple of folks come out and see me, Johnny and Chris. You know what's crazy about that? Is that I almost missed my flight, Chris. Because I was just chopping it up with them. To give the audience some perspective, right? My flight was boarding at 1:20. I left them like at 1 o'clock flat. I got to the airport at 1:05, and I had less than 15 minutes to go through security and get to my gate. So as you can imagine, I was quite frantic.
Yeah, I wouldn't have made it. Mine was over in Terminal C. So I had to go underground to walk. We're talking about O'Hare. We were at Chicago. And, you know, it's a long walk under from A over to C. So, and my Uber driver dropped me off at the wrong terminal. I was actually in Terminal 1. He put me at Terminal 2. He said it was better for him. So, that's what he said to me as he's driving off. He said, it's easier for me over here. I said, ooh, that's going to hurt the tip.
Oh, I cannot believe he did that, bro.
Yeah, you don't say that.
Well, okay. I'm glad you brought that up. What the hell did I tell you? I'll tell you the story of what happened when I got to the airport and I had to take a trip to the hotel, the venue. Remember that?
No.
There was a cab driver that he picked me up. The airport was like 5 minutes away from the hotel. I get him like, I'm going to the so-and-so hotel. And he was like, oh, man, that's such a short trip. It's not even worth the drive. And I said, brother, I will give you a nice tip. Just get me over there, you know? But I was so annoyed that, by the time I got to you, you saw me, I was anxious, I was pissed off.
That is the one good thing. Well, there's a lot of good things, but about Uber, you know, the deal's already been made. Before you hit accept, you know where I'm going. I don't have to have this awkward conversation with you.
Exactly.
So I know you're not a big Elon guy, you know, and I love Elon. Big Elon guy. But these robo-taxis, guess what? They're not going to bitch and moan. They're not going to drop you off where it's most convenient for them. Yeah. This robo-taxi's coming. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, they're coming. They'll be smashing into walls.
No chance, dude. Dude, I have a Tesla. It drove me all the way from my house to Raleigh, North Carolina, 4 hours away. I didn't touch the steering wheel once.
Bro, that's because you got like a direct line like between your house and the highway probably.
No. We were going off all over the place. Dude, I'm telling you. This car drives me everywhere.
Well, I'll check it out.
No, it is fantastic. They have figured it out. They have figured out AI driving.
All right. So what do? You just sleep at the wheel?
No, you have to pay attention. Like if you don't pay attention, it like, hey, shake the wheel for us. Hey, just give us a little tug on the wheel so you make sure you're still awake. And then if you don't do it, it's like, all right, it's yours.
Yeah, figure it out.
No. They wait till you stop. Wait till it goes like a stoplight or something like that. It's like self-driving's off. You can't do it anymore. You lose. Wow. So then you have to pull over, turn the car off, turn it back on. And then
I don't know, brother. That sounds pretty authoritarian to me, man. I'm not sure I want somebody overseeing my driving habits, man. I don't know.
Dude, I'm the biggest proponent of it. Like, when you drive, you're not tired at the end of it. You know how sometimes you go for a drive or something, you're just exhausted? You know, like, you come back from the airport, and then you got to drive, like, 2 hours to get home from the airport. You get more rest. You're paying attention. You're not sleeping, but you're not, like, into it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I have to lift the curtain for the audience.
What?
This MF-er just yawned during our podcast. Talk about taking the energy out of a show. He freaking yawned during our story.
My bad, bro. It's just fucking automatic driving. And then we just spent an hour with Phineas. I tell you, I love Phineas.
It's 6:10 on a Monday and you're yawning.
Yo, I'm old, bro. Listen, when you get to a certain age, Chris, you start to be like, I think right now is a great time for a siesta. A little nap.
Don't even tell me about old. I'm 46 years old. I got a shingle shot on Friday. Yeah. I decided to get it early. Not when you're supposed to get it when you're 50. But I found out you only get it at 50 because that's what insurance wants you to do. And I don't want shingles. I definitely don't want shingles. I got it. And then they kicked my ass all weekend. They literally kicked my ass all weekend. I had double vision on Sunday. I don't know what it was from, but like I couldn't see. That's why I recorded on Monday. I couldn't see shit.
It might be that fucking self-driving shit you got going on. See, it's taken away from your capabilities, my friend.
But guess what? Even though I'm seeing double, I guess my car still drove because it drove itself. It didn't need me there.
Well, what happens when your car sees double?
Who knows? Don't tell me. Well, it's got like 24 cameras on it, which is another reason I don't understand why people would vandalize them.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. A car with 24 cameras? That's nuts.
Yeah, it's a little spy agency on wheels. That's really cool. I had no idea it had 24 cameras, though.
Yeah, it has 24 different cameras on it. And you can put it in a mode where, like, I can log into the cameras anytime I want. Like, if one of your kids driving, you can log in and see what they're doing, how fast they're going. Like, you watch the cameras. You can watch them driving.
I can imagine how many couples have found, like, their partners cheating because of that shit. They had no idea, right? They're driving around with another person. Or they're talking shit on the phone, like, I just left my man, blah, 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 and boom.
I don't believe there are Tesla drivers that cheat on their spouses.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. Yo, you, listen, man, you are really sold on. Listen, bro, I'm about to get a time machine and bring Nikola Tesla back and have him take a ride with you.
And not to keep going off on tangents on this one. You know I love tangents. But sure. That poor bastard died in the park by himself.
Yeah, his ending was terrible.
Yeah, like such a brilliant guy. Yeah. You know, all the things he came up with. And to die alone feeding some pigeons in the park. It's a sad story.
It happens that way. I mean, look how Edgar Allan Poe went. He went out terrible. He got caught up in that vote scheme. You know, when they used to take people and have them dress up multiple times and do multiple votes for a candidate. They just kept getting him high and changing his clothes, and then eventually he just died.
Wasn't that 2020?
Yeah, 2020. They brought back Edgar Allan Poe on a time machine, and they had to commit voter fraud.
From your lips, brother. From your lips.
Oh yeah. Well, I hope that won me a few credit score points with Donald Trump, President Trump.
All right, we got to get into this. Phineas is going to cut all this shit out because he wants 2 minutes of banter.
Oh, that's not enough, bro. What the fuck?
All right, shout out to GuidePoint. Guys, check out GuidePoint. They've had us at a bunch of events. They're going to have us at more events. Really happy to be part of that and doing that thing. And also, if you guys want to hear us come speak at your events, reach out to us. We'll come speak at your events. Have Hacker in the Fed talk to your crew, tell you how things are.
That's right.
Let's get into it, Hector. So, Mandiant's M-Trends 2025s came out. Frontline cyber threats and why your defense needs an overhaul. Did you read all about what the upcoming trends are?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, this is stuff that I'm seeing, like, you know, day to day. In fact, in the last week, I've had two clients of mine call me on emergency meetings to discuss active breaches. Okay.
Because of this?
Well, some of it in here pertains to kind of what they were going through, right? Some of the trends. Yeah. And it's pretty wild. There's a lot of attacks happening, you know, even more shit. You remember when you and I had to deal with that back in the days, you know, you saw hundreds of thousands of compromises. This shit, I feel like it doubled or tripled now, bro. It's even worse.
I read this report. I think it's a great report. They got a lot of data points. They say frontline data from 450,000 hours of cyber investigations. That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, man.
I want to put a caveat on it.
What? What's the caveat?
These companies make money from scaring the shit out of Hacker and the Fed listeners.
That's so true.
The more scared you are, the more stuff you buy, the more stuff you got to put in. Cybersecurity, it's shit. There are some things out there. Yeah. But there are also snake oil salesmen. Yeah. We'll put it right out there right now. We both believe this. There's a lot of stuff people will sell you just because you're scared. And putting out these trends, it's useful knowledge. But again, use it as knowledge.
Yeah.
Do not just use it as a scare tactic to buy another product, plug and play, and don't set it properly and think you're being secure. You know, just because you bought it, just because the salesman told you this is the best thing to have, don't mean it's the best. You got to know how to use it, how to apply it against, this is what's happening against you. Don't be scared. Again, just remember, as we talk and go through this story, these people make money off of you.
Oh, yeah. Well, remember, Google paid $5.4 billion for Mandiant. And Mandiant's been in Intel, threat Intel, you know, all sorts of different intelligence spaces. This is what Google paid for, basically, right? This is some great marketing, some great research. And you know, yes, they're making money off of this, but there's some good details in here. Like you said, great information.
What's Google's cyber security team's name? I can't think of it.
Google Security.
I thought their team had a name.
Like a cool name, like Unit 8173 or something?
Yeah, maybe it's an inside name I shouldn't be sharing on the podcast.
Yeah. TMI, brother. But from the outside, it's just Google Security.
They find stuff happening on the internet. They put things out. You know, they add to CVEs and sort of like that. They have cybersecurity, you know, free classes for people wanting to get into cybersecurity. Sure. So Google does a lot of good things, does a lot of things for free.
Yeah.
Let's take a look. Just all these things we're saying, just keep in your mind. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to just shit on Google. I think Google's a great company. I've been to Google. I've spoken at Google. I think it's fantastic what they're doing. It's a great tool they offer. But they're also a very rich company that makes money off it. And part of that making money is out through fear. With that said, let's move on. So Mandiant's 16th annual report based on 450,000 hours of 2024 incident investigations revealed cybersecurity attacks, tactics, and defenses per Google Cloud's blog. Mm. So exploits, 33% of attacks were covered from exploits. Stolen credentials accounted for 16%. Phishing, 14%. And deep dive info stealers. That was a big one in 2024.
Yeah, the last 3 years, info stealers have blown the hell up. And they're very successful and efficient for what they do.
Targets, financial sector, 17.4%. Business services, 11.1. Oh my God, guys, we're ripping our tops off now.
I took my top off. I'm excited.
Oh boy, it's getting big on Hacker and the Fed. We're going topless.
We're going live and topless.
Going live. Fuck it, I'll do it live. Again, sorry. Targets. I am excited today. I don't know. I'm just super the energy. Will and Phineas got me pumped.
I think it's all that sunbathing you're doing, bro. I'll be honest with you.
Don't remember. That's on the paid show. If you want information about my sunbathing, you got to pay for it. And Hector's washing regime.
Oh, my God. That's a good one.
Financials, 17.4%. Business services, 11.1%. High tech, 10.6%. Government, 9.5%. I'm surprised by government at 9.5%.
Yeah, how are you going to monetize the government? They don't even want to pay themselves, so they won't.
You know, but that includes local. I mean, if that includes the Dallas hack, I know you love the Dallas hack and their response.
Yeah, great.
But you know, I'm surprised it was not higher than that. Back in the day, it was healthcare 9.3. So we're always hearing about healthcare and how vulnerable they are and all that, and yet it was only 9.3. Where do you think that's from?
I think that adversaries are realizing that a lot of hospitals that they're hitting. Yes, there might be private companies. Yes, there might be a lot of investors involved. But a lot of those healthcare providers are not really making that much money, and they're not really, I would say, they're not motivated to pay the ransoms. That's what I've seen. A lot of hospitals are not really willing to pay. They're, because look, think about it like this, right? Let me give you some perspective, because I work with a lot of healthcare providers, hospitals, clinics. Some of my biggest clients are hospital networks, right? Hospitals that you guys know about in the audience here. The hospitals that do get breached, right? They have so much segmentation that you more than likely got access to maybe some legacy systems, which they can't do much about. But because of your breach, because of your compromise, now they're forced to eliminate that stuff and bring in new hardware, new appliances, new software. So at that point, they're like, why are we going to pay these people? Like, we're going to replace it anyway, right? So in a sense, the adversary is kind of helping these healthcare providers update their security.
Healthcare, a lot of those programs they need. I mean, there are still programs that only run on like XP. And out-of-date systems, end-of-life systems, you know. But I think we look back a few years and we kind of see what's happening here.
What do you think?
Caesars paid a shitload of money.
That's
so
true.
We're going to go after people who have money to pay. Yes, healthcare needs it, but maybe a healthcare can't get that much money together that fast. They can't buy that much crypto. Yeah. Guess you can. Casinos.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to start seeing people that these companies that roll with big, big bucks are going to be targeted heavier and heavier and heavier. Businesses with cash on hand, you know, they're going to get hit hard.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then, of course, like business services and high-tech companies, those two make a lot of sense, right? And they make a lot of sense because they are part of the supply chain. Yeah. So if you have a vendor that's in the tech space, consulting, whatever it is, they get breached, they get compromised, then what? That leads possibly to you. Right. So, yeah, those two make sense. They make up what, 20.7% of all compromises. Put them those two together. Yeah, that's a lot.
Motivation. This is it. 55% of threat groups were financially motivated. That's up from 2023. Mm. That's going to be your MGMs and your Caesars.
Yep.
8% espionage driven down. Why? Who knows? And you know what, a theme that we've covered tons of times on here that really throughout this is the North Korean espionage, the sure. North Korean work hacks. Big in this report. Who knows? It's such a big economic drive and a hit to the community.
Well, hey, think about it like this. If you are a humanist and you want to help the North Korean people out, they yourself get ransomed and pay the ransom, and you're basically feeding the region. You're feeding the government, and hopefully they pass down a couple extra potatoes. From crypto theft and hacking, the North Korean government is making a ton of money, like ridiculous. I mean, look at that recent hack we covered not that long ago, $1.4 billion from Bybit. Those North Korean actors ate on that one.
True. Initial attack vectors. Unpatched systems. Exploits. 33%. A third of all of this is because things are going unpatched. Now, do you believe it is just unpatched and not zero day?
Some are zero day, absolutely. Right. We're hearing about zero day attacks literally every day now. Because the adversaries could afford to buy them and or afford to hire people to do security research, right? So yes, it makes sense that a lot are going to be against zero days, but the majority is going to be organizations that do not have a vulnerability management program. They have an immature security program, and the people in leadership, which I'm going to rant about later, okay, they're not doing their jobs, and that's what this is really about. That's why we have 33% up in the air right now.
Stolen credentials, info stealers, up 16%. Mm-hmm. He came in second place of initial attack vectors. Why are we seeing info stealers exploding?
Because they work. They work, and they're easy. They're easier than an adversary to sit there and put together an attack plan and strategizing on how to compromise a specific organization and do a supply chain attack, when in reality, all you have to do is modify a plugin or for some game, or do a malvertisement campaign against a very specific sector on Facebook, on Google, and now you're hitting all of the competitors all together, and you just need one person to click, download, and execute. That's all it is, and it works.
Is that how they're getting in browser extensions and games?
Absolutely. In fact, whenever I look at, and thanks to our friends in Israel, they always hook us up, when we look at the data sets right? That's updated daily. And we're looking at the computer, rather the file systems on these computers that are being compromised and infected. What do we see? Tons of random software and or tons of games. So it's between games and like music editing and video editing software. So if you're an editor out there, maybe you're producing music, whatever your story is, you're downloading software online, you're downloading plugins, guess what? You're getting popped. Once you connect or log in from that computer to a corporate network, it's over.
And then phishing remains top in the top three, 14%. So
of course.
It's going to be hard to get away from phishing.
It works. It's efficient. It's easy to set up. Very low cost, especially with SMS phishing. That's the big winner right now. You know, companies have spent so much time teaching their employees through all sorts of training programs on how to spot a phishing email. They've completely ignored and forgotten that SMS messages are basically emails. Okay. So you have a an employee. They just spent a week doing all your security training. They get a text message. Hey, this is Linda from marketing. Click on this link. We need your help for next week's event. Bada bing, bada boom. You're compromised. That's simple.
Dwell time's gotten worse. So for what people don't know, dwell time is the time from attack and from how long the bad guy's in your systems. So. Sure. Global median dwell time rose to 11 days, up from 10-23. 26 days if external notification, like if the FBI reaches out to you. 5 days if adversaries notice you, like a ransomware demand. Like they get in, they're there for 5 days before they give you the demands of what's going on. 10 mm-hmm. days for initial detection, showing defenders lag and reg teams. Sure. Why do you think dwell time has gotten worse? What's going on there?
Well, the adversaries... they realize that a lot of organizations are purchasing products like EDRs and NDRs and XDRs, and they're buying all sorts of things like Threat Locker, shout out to Threat Locker. They're buying all these different products. Eventually, something's going to catch you. So what these adversaries are doing is they're going in, doing some initial slow passive reconnaissance. They're slowing down, Chris. That's the point, because they want to avoid detection. And it's pretty simple and straightforward. We have one... So I told you a little while ago, I had two customers call me this week for emergency calls. The first incident, the team was on it. Thank God for them, because as soon as they got the first alert, they jumped right into it. They called me immediately. I hopped on the call with them on Microsoft Teams, unfortunately. And it looks like, from my investigation with them, that the adversary actually got in on April 15th. Okay? On April 22nd, okay, is when the adversary started running commands on the network. So between the 15th and the 21st, the adversary was there doing passive reconnaissance, hoping and waiting for anything to fall in their laps. And it did. They got domain admin in that time.
So how the attacks are evolving? So again, like unpatched vulnerabilities in edge devices and cloud apps, as we talked about that. Credential stealing, info stealers are up because they're using legit tools to inject mm-hmm. their code. Mm-hmm. Cloud weakness, misconfigured S3 buckets, and weak MFA.
Can you believe that's still a thing?
How long are we misconfiguring these S3 buckets? I mean, that's a huge problem. And then weak MFA, if you guys are still using SMS as MFA, is insane.
Well... Unfortunately, organizations are not enforcing MFA policies. That's really what it is. And if they do set up MFA policies, they're not validating said MFA policy. So you have no idea if it's even working.
I think they might. I think it's, cookies. Cookies are destroying them. These tokens that are lasting way too long. Like, people don't want to be doing their MFA, six times a day at work. You get a lot of pushback on that. Yeah. But it's useful.
For the adversary is fantastic. We just think about right?
I'm saying it's useful to, if you are making your employees use MFA like six times a day.
It can, is exhaustive, but security is not supposed to be easy. Remember, the internet or ARPANET, right? Depending on how old you are, it was not built with security in mind. It was built for persistence and communications. So long as I can communicate with you, Chris, in the event of an emergency, a nuclear holocaust, right?
Yeah.
That's all it was for. We started layering all this crap on top of it. Security was not inherent. Security was not by design, and that's why we're dealing with this stuff even to this day. And it's ridiculous.
They're saying that AI-powered tools, attackers are using for phishing, vishing, and deepfakes, and bypassing traditional offenses. That's just going to keep getting. AI is getting better. They're going to use it better. But there's also AI-powered defense that's going to get better. The EDRs are going to get better,
That's right.
Speaking of EDRs, Hector, we'll move on from the trends. Recently, you sent me over a sheet of EDR tier lists rated by a single ransomware operator, ranked by difficulty bypass. How'd you find this list? Do you agree with it? What did you think of the whole thing?
It's a great list, and I've already seen various or many variations of it so far. This was posted by this person on Twitter, and it got retweeted by VX Underground. Shout out to them. They always got great posts. Yeah. And so the infographic that we're looking at is kind of like a S to LOL tier of products that they've worked against in their ransomware, campaigns. The list kind of makes sense. Some of this stuff makes sense from what I'm seeing also as, an operator inside of a customer's network. I've seen, they have CrowdStrike's S tier. And you know what? CrowdStrike is one of the better products. Absolutely. I get it. But if you speak to certain hackers that are like they've dedicated months or years to compromising systems with CrowdStrike in it, they'll tell you that CrowdStrike actually should be in the LOL tier. So it depends on who you speak to. Yeah, absolutely. It all depends. And by the way, also remember CrowdStrike has different service levels, right? So not every customer is gonna be able to afford CrowdStrike Falcon. Falcon is the special edition, super duper proactive, instant response capable version of CrowdStrike. And not every organization will be able to pay for it. So that's why I think you're going to see different reactions to the infographics like this when it comes to different products.
Yeah, it was strange. I don't have a lot of experience with some of these. Sure. It was strange to see some of them, and not on others. I'll go ahead and, call the one out that I'm really thinking here. I was not surprised to see Microsoft Defender in the LOL.
Yeah, but see, this is where it gets complicated.
Yeah.
Because I've seen Defender. In fact, that one client, the one that had the detection that called me, they were using Defender, but I think they're their E5. They have all the bells and whistles, okay? It's very expensive, but Microsoft has the capability to detect a lot of stuff. But that's where, this week's rant should have been on Microsoft, honestly. Because imagine this, right? Imagine you create an operating system that's from the endpoint's perspective, is compromised probably the most in comparison to, like, let's say, OS X or Linux. Okay, so Windows systems are heavily targeted and they're heavily compromised. Most of the targets that I'm seeing that are compromised for customers or even the infosecure dumps are Microsoft Windows, right? So you would think that as the vendor for such a product, that their EDR would have all the bells and whistles right off the bat. But no, you have to pay for the extra features. That's like if you buy a car right now. Let's say you bought your Tesla last week and Elon Musk decided, the seatbelt, you can pay for that. There's an extra charge for the seatbelt. And if not, we'll make the car convertible just in case you got to fly out. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is strange to then have to buy safety features from the same company that sold you the car.
Isn't that crazy?
A little strange.
Yeah, it's like going to a drug dealer and be like, hey, I want some meth. And hey, by the way, do you have some Narcan in just in case as well?
Crazy. Hector, this next story may be a little strange. I bet you don't believe this. But imagine that you hired a cybersecurity firm to protect you run a hospital, protect your hospital, and you only find out that the CEO is sneaking around your hospital and putting malware on your systems. Can you imagine?
Makes no
sense.
Can
you imagine there's a scumbag that's in cybersecurity?
Yeah, that's a real jerk move. And by the way, Chris,
this is brand new. I have never met a jerk in cybersecurity.
Never what?
I've never met a jerk before in cybersecurity. Above the board people.
That's why I had to do a double take, huh? Yeah.
What the fuck are you saying?
No, that's so incredulous.
Cybersecurity CEO turned hospital hacker, a trust betrayal or a desperate ploy? Let's dig a little bit into this one, Hector.
Let's do it.
So on August 6, 2024, a staff member at SMS Hospital's St. Anthony Hospital in Oklahoma spotted an unauthorized man, later identified as Jeffrey Bowie, CEO of a cybersecurity company, using an employee-only computer. security footage then showed Bowie wandering the hospital, trying to access multiple offices before targeting two computers, one restricted to staff. And then within 10 minutes, he installed malware that took screenshots every 20 seconds, sending them to an external IP address. The hospital IT caught the intrusion in real time, neutralized the malware before any patient data was compromised, per the hospital statement. Mm. Bowie claimed that he needed the computer because a family member was in surgery, but forensic analysis confirmed the malicious intent. Then, on April 14, 2025, Oklahoma City police arrested Bowie and charged him with two felony counts of violating the Oklahoma Computer Crimes Act, facing up to $5,000 in fines and 30 days per misdemeanor count or harsher felony files. So, Hector, you sent this over to me. I read it. Yeah. And what is the first thing I asked you?
What?
This guy a pervert, or is he trying to get business?
Yeah.
It's one of those two things that could possibly. He either wants to look at employees or look up some girlfriend's data on the hospital thing and see she had done. Some pervy thing, which I'm going to say 95% probably pervy. But there is 5% douchebag factor that this guy was just trying to get a bigger contract out of the hospital.
Yeah. I mean, that's a weird one, right? Because if you do a deep dive into the story, right? But I did a deep dive into the story, and there's a lot of great posts on X, Twitter, on this exact topic. In fact, someone even spoke to him. Someone interviewed him and communicated with him, and they were like, "Bro, what the fuck are you doing? What is this?"
There's no way he talked. Facing felony charges.
He talked. Go on Twitter. There's chat logs with him talking about it.
Oh shit. Well,
yeah,
no one ever lies on Twitter, so let me read those.
Yeah, it could be disinformation, it could be misinformation, or it could be real. But I looked at that, and then he posted the source code. He gave the source code to the person he was talking to.
And the source, for the malware?
Yeah. And so, so basically it's a PowerShell script, okay?
Yeah.
And the PowerShell script, they basically just takes a screenshot of your main window, the desktop, and then it forwards the screenshot as a BMP, so it should be a high-quality image, right, to a remote host that acts like a CDN, but it was a fake CDN. It was a machine that he was hosting. It looks like what he was trying to do is make it seem like it was sending out metrics to that host. Because if you ever looked at a proxy in your computer, like a man-in-the-middle proxy, you see a bunch of metrics from Chrome and Firefox and everything else, right? He was trying to make it seem like this is metrics information was being sent out, but it was screenshots of the desktop. Now, looking at the PowerShell script and reading it line by line, you know, I'm so confused as to what his end goal was, right? Because, okay, now you have a ton, probably gigabytes of screenshots, right? Now what?
Bitmap files are big, so.
Yeah. They're big. And you could probably, like, zoom into stuff, right? Maybe that's why you did that. Okay, cool. So what are you waiting for somebody to log in and look up someone's record? Are you trying to exfiltrate people's records? It's not like he set up, like, an info stealer, right? Yeah. It's not like he set up a credential thing or C2, right? Command and control. None of that. It was just screenshots.
Yeah.
I'm just so confused.
Every 20 seconds.
You have to get lucky every 20 seconds. It's so confusing.
So, yeah, I guess he's just a big dummy. But when he confronted about to lie, that's, you know, to me, is the smoking gun. He says because a family member was in surgery. Okay. Yeah. Why would you, if a family member's in surgery, why do you got to take a screenshot every 20 seconds and send it to yourself? Like, how's that connected?
It makes no sense. You know, what's really weird about it, too, is like, okay, you get caught. Now you're talking to people online about it. People posting screenshots of your conversation, you're releasing the source code. I don't think he realizes he's screwing himself. I'm sure the FBI has got this already covered. And that little, what was it, 90 days? 90 days per violation or whatever it was?
Yeah.
30 days, right? 30 or 90 days. Yeah, bro, you're about to get hit with felony charges, my boy. That 30 days is out the window.
Yeah, there's a Reddit. I looked into this. There's a Reddit like thread on this thing. So this guy not only owns this cybersecurity company that offers cybersecurity, digital forensics, and private investigations with 2 to 10 employees, but he also owns an LLC that has kratom sales. Do you know what kratom is?
Isn't that like a drug of some sort?
Yeah, it's like a detox drug. And so they're theorizing that he's trying to steal like opioid addicts' records from this so he could sell his kratom detox to people. So, but again, why not just put info stealer on there? If you run a cybersecurity firm, you can get your hands on an info stealer a lot easier than write this PowerShell. Like, talk about like low-level bullshit guy.
He's terrible. Oh, my Lord. this is insane. But guess what? It's another insider threat, right? It's someone that
was...
Yeah, man.
But for $40, he could have bought something on the dark web that was a lot better than this PowerShell bullshit.
All right, you got to see the code, too. It's straight up ass. It looks like he copied it over forum. It makes no sense.
He probably got it. He probably got it from ChatGPT. Probably wrote it for him.
It was probably a ChatGPT payload, absolutely.
I mean, we're telling people how to make hackers.
No, definitely not. No, but seriously, though, this you're right when you first said about the story. It's so confusing.
Pervert. It's got pervert written all over it.
The InfoSec, the IT people, everybody online, Twitter, Reddit, doesn't matter where you're looking at. People are just confused. Like, bro, what are you doing? You just destroyed your business. You destroyed your life. You never get hired for shit ever again in your life. And now you're going to be a convict, brother. Shit, I could tell you how hard it is to get a job as a convict.
Like, but how would he not know that that PowerShell wouldn't be caught by the hospital security instantaneously?
Well, it took a year and change to get caught. That's the bad part. From 2024.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
No. He didn't get charged. They caught him the day he was doing it on the machine. They're like, this machine's doing some crazy ass shit. We're going to block it. And then they went and found him, and he said he was looking on the computer because for a family member in surgery. And then they did forensics. So a lot of times like this, even like child exploitation cases and all that, they'll catch you doing something, but they don't charge you for like a year later because they build the whole case against you. It's a lot of computer crimes. It's not like
interesting.
Yeah. So they charged him a year later, but
so yeah, I
this
wonder
guy, this guy's horrible.
I wonder if they must have found more details about the case within the year to finally say, you know what, we're going to charge this guy because he's really...
Yeah, I'm sure they did a whole forensic dive and found exactly step-by-step what he did on those computers. I mean, he probably, like I said, it walked from office to office. They probably had to do a forensic dive on 30 computers before they found the one that he got into and dumped this PowerShell on.
Insane. I'm just so confused about this. I remember a few years ago, there was a big story that came out of Florida. Was it Florida? Where... Yep. Two pen testers, right? They were arrested for doing a pen test.
Yeah.
That I can understand. It sucks they got arrested. The security did their job. The sheriff did their job, right? The prosecutor was being a jerk because the prosecutor at that point, dude, this is a contract in place. The courts hired these pen testers, right? This is not even that.
This big dummy, when he got caught, he should have said, I'm testing your physical security and I'm testing your outbound traffic. I wouldn't actually be trying to steal something. Who in hell would take screenshots every 20 seconds and send that outbound? I'm seeing how well your security is because you guys hired me to do security. But like, you know, that would be a better story than to say I needed it because someone's in surgery.
But that's the crazy part too, right? Even when I've had like pen tests or red teams with customers, they're like, hey, Hector, we want you to prove you could compromise us. We want you to prove by doing something in the file system, right? And I say, okay, cool. At that point, Chris, here's what I tell them. Okay, absolutely. It's a crown jewel. I got you. What do you want to do? Can you create like a PDF file of garbage in like this temporary folder and just give us the location? Let us know exactly when you create it. Exactly. I got you. Not this. You don't randomly do this, bro.
Yeah. This is a goofy story. We don't really know where it's coming from. But guys, just so you listen, you know, unlocked endpoints are a death sentence. Don't let endpoints be unlocked. You know. I know it's teach your employees to not walk away from their computer. Control Alt Delete real quick. It's real quick. Just do it. You know, we used to screw with people if they left their soup unlocked by flipping the screen upside down.
Yeah.
Doing the old, you know, take a screenshot and delete all the icons, and then just put change the back page, like stuff like that. Like volunteer you to do things, but yeah, don't keep endpoints unlocked. Insider threats. I know that's why you sent this over 2 years ago to me. 2 years too late, but insider threats are on the way up. They're spiking.
They're spiking. Insider threats are very legitimate. They're very dangerous, you know.
You're ahead of the
top. I still believe in
the whole
heart.
You said 2023 was it, but apparently 2025 with this moron walking around a hospital is a big problem. So we'll see how it goes. We'll pay attention to see what's going on in this guy's trial and see what comes out of it. And hopefully he just comes out and says, yeah, I'm a big old perv.
Yeah, I'm a jerk. Just give me the book. Throw the book at me. Why not?
So, Hector, one of our listeners reached out to you and said that your rant was very motivational. Can you share a little bit with the audience about one of your past rants and what this listener said to you?
Yes. So, we had last week, you know, we tend to do the you know, kind of like the rants. And the rants, for the most part, are pretty cool. I try not to go too deep into, you know, certain topics that, you know, are going to make our audience run for the hills. But one of them was on last week's episode was a rant on the cybersecurity industry going into a weird place and me having concerns about, you know, the free market and you know, we've seen things like Google buying Wiz and Google bots, Mandiant, you know, for billions upon billions of dollars. We're seeing a bunch of companies buying other companies. And my concern always when I see stuff like that, when I see that pattern, Chris, is monopolies are starting to build. Okay. Sure. Monopolies are building. I'm not a monopoly guy. I am not cool with it. I do not co-sign that. And so I always immediately get concerned about the free market. So I did a rant last week. I said, hey guys, you know how you defeat these monopolies? One of the things you can do is become entrepreneurs, especially if you have a skill set that people need. Start your own business. And here's the good, beautiful part of the story. A couple of days after that rant goes live, a good friend of ours, Chris, sends me a message. Hey, Hector, love the podcast. I've been listening to you guys since 2022. Just want to let you know, your words about entrepreneurship really resonated with me and gave me the final push to take a leap. So he decided to leave his role. He created a business. Congratulations to him. I will support his business as best as I can. Hopefully I can send a customer one or two his way. I'm super happy for this gentleman. And I'm going to tell you the rest of you. You know, I'm really, honestly, you know, believing in you guys, getting into this industry, making the industry better. I want to touch on that rant a little bit more this week because you know what? It motivated Chris. I want to get deeper into this conversation. But I also want to highlight a problem. You know, so far, you guys have heard my rants over the last several months. You've seen that, you know, I'm about consistency and accountability. I want you guys to excel and succeed. All of us, doesn't matter if you're in the United States, if you're down under, shout out to my people out there. If you over, if you're in Germany, Deutschland, in France, Italy, whatever it is, right? We're all helping each other. We're all part of the overall security posture of our organizations and our countries. With that being said, I know you guys are out there. You guys are talented. You have skill sets. Put those skill sets to use. If you don't want to build your own business like our friend Chris did, that's fine. You can do that later. Find a good business that's doing good things and put those skills to work. And for those of you that are really good at cybersecurity, you're also very good at project management, and you're also a leader, and you have great communication skills. You know what I need from you guys? All you wonderful ladies out there and all you really awesome guys out there, I need you guys to start looking at the CISO position, okay? It's cool that some of you have created jobs, but now we have to deal with the problem of the CISO. I've met a lot of CISOs in my life, Chris. In fact, if you look at my LinkedIn, a majority of the people following me on my network are CISOs. I give my time. I do not send out invoices. When people ask me questions, hey, Hector, we think about this. Hey, Hector, I think we've been compromised. Hey, Hector, do this. Hey, Hector, I may need your help with a product. I lend my support, and I give these people my experience and my knowledge. I do knowledge transfers all the time. If you've hit me up on LinkedIn and I haven't responded back to you, it's because I was probably traveling, I missed your message. But for the rest of you that have hit me up on LinkedIn, you notice that I respond back and I answer your questions. Now, with that being said, there's a lot of CISOs currently in the cybersecurity industry that probably should not be there. You know, the technical capabilities are not where they need to be, and that's fine. Their communication skills are not where they need to be, and that's bad. There are some CISOs that have zero respect for the vendors. That's not good. And you have some CISOs that were there out of legacy. Legacy meaning they've been at the company for so long, the position opened up. Hey, buddy, you know, just jump into this position and all you have to do is oversee your security team. The problem with that is when it comes to maturing your security program, you need to be a leader. You need to guide your security staff. You need to work with your CIO and look at the policies and validate the policies. You have to make decisions, executive decisions about the security of your organization. You are being trusted, my friend, with overseeing, overlooking, improving, validating your security program continuously. Not once a year, not once a week, continuously. And it's cool that you get all the executive perks and you get the bonuses every year and you get all that cool stuff, but you're doing your organization a disservice and you are doing your country a disservice when you're not following, you know, the social contractual obligations. You know what I mean by that? I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. Chris, a little while ago, read a story from Google's Mandiant's intelligence arm. And one of the things they said there that was really prominent and was also echoed by my good friend, our good friend, Andrew Morris from Gray Noise. I'm not sure if you saw the LinkedIn post he did a couple days ago, Chris. He did a kind of like an expose of this exact same freaking point, which is these adversaries are effective because you're not updating your shit. There's not much you can do about zero day, but there's a lot you can do about outdated software. I understand it costs money to update the software. I understand that. But if you apply something like the FAIR model, you quantify the remediation strategy, and you can tell your stakeholders, hey, by the way, I know we're trying to save some money right now, but here's the situation. And Chris, I'm going to use what you brought up earlier. City of Dallas. Love City of Dallas. They got breached last year, ransomware. They were able to recover completely within 72 hours. And they gave all of you the most detailed incident response report that I've ever seen, or, you know, this amongst the top five. And what do you see in that report? Yeah, the attackers got in because we had some oversight or some configuration or some software that was outdated, maybe an account or two, you know, wasn't rotated properly, right? As a CISO, you are responsible for managing and moving forward your security program. If you're not, you're doing your organization a disservice. But here's another thing, Chris, going back to accountability. Very rarely do we see a CISO have to deal with the consequences of this, of a breach, of a compromise. Even now, after the SEC back in December said, hey, if you're a publicly traded company and you have been compromised, you have to alert us and you have to alert the public within 3 days. We've seen those 8K forms, Chris, right? We've seen those forms, and it's good to see that. But what we're also not seeing is any accountability being held against any of these CISOs or executives. They're supposed to be doing their jobs and they're not. So with that being said, my friends out there listening, if you have aspirations, if you have motivation, if you're interested, and you want to make some good money at the same time, start looking at that CISO position. Follow that path. Get your communication skills up. If you're in college, take a communications course. If you're in college, take a project management course. If you're outside of college, go get your PMP certification. Start learning how to manage and lead, and I promise you, ladies and gents, you're going to win, and you're also going to help all of us at the same time. So that's my rant this week, Chris, on CISOs.
I 100% agree with you, and I think this is great advice, and hopefully that solves the CISO position 20 years from now. I'm worried about the CISOs next year, the ones that are going to get that position in the next year or so. That's hopefully someone can listen to that and realize a little self-adjustment, maybe self-awareness of what they're lacking. Help those skill sets.
Oh yeah, and you know what? And just keep in mind, Chris. You know me. I'm not a jerk. I'm not gonna admonish a CISO.
Means I'm the jerk. If you're not the jerk, I have to be the jerk.
Yeah, good cop, bad cop, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But here's the reality, right? If you are a CISO and you're listening to this, and you know that you're over your head, or you stay up at night because you're concerned about a breach or compromise. You feel like, you know, your policies are wrong or outdated. They haven't been validated. Your tools that you've purchased, you haven't set up properly. You haven't configured. You haven't, you know, done what you needed to do. You can start today, right? It's not going to cost you much. I promise you. You know, Chris, all the time when we go to GuidePoint or any conference and people are asking this question, like, hey, what can I do right now? I have a tight budget. Go to pinkcastle.com and get yourself a free AD audit. Look at AD Miner to help you identify potential attack paths. Look at Bloodhound. Bloodhound could give you some ideas on attack paths. These tools are free, Chris, right? All it takes is time. So I hope it motivates, and Chris, I hope you're right.
Excellent show today, Hector. 5-star reviews. Share us on social media. Tell your coworkers, your friends. Tell the people, all those CISOs out there that listen to this. Tell us, well, share it with your colleagues, you know, and then let them know what an asshole you are.
That's right.
Hector, I loved it. Had fun. Love and respect you, brother.
Much love, man. It's a pleasure always. Cheers.
Cheers.